Right. So what we're going to do this morning is we're going to carry on with the series that we've been doing for the past 3 weeks. And today will be the final installation of this series. And we've been looking at the Holy Spirit for a number of weeks now. And what we've tried to do is to really go through what the Bible says about the Holy Spirit so we can understand the Holy Spirit from a very simple Bible-based perspective. I mentioned a while ago, I think at the start, when we started this series, that before I became a Christian, one thing that really, that I found a bit strange before I became a Christian was that, you know, I had some Pentecostal friends who went to like evangelical churches. Some of my older sisters as well were evangelicals. And what really amazed me was the fact that when they went to their meetings, they spoke in tongues, they had all this Holy Spirit stuff, I used to call it then. And they would invite me, you know, to those meetings. I remember when I was at uni, there was a guy that we shared the same room together and he was a Christian. And he said, oh, we're having this meeting tonight. Do you want to come? And I'll be like, you know, no, thank you. None of that Holy Spirit stuff for me. I was just like playing. Do you understand what I mean? So I didn't really have an understanding. But like I described, after I became born again and I experienced the baptism of the Holy Spirit, it really transformed and changed my life. And I believe that there's so much more that we can do as Christians. There's so much more that God can do in our lives if we just really open up to God and open up to the Holy Spirit as well. We saw in the book of John, we don't have to turn there, what Jesus said about the Holy Spirit. He said, I'm leaving, but I'm going to send someone to take my place. So having the Holy Spirit with us is as if Jesus himself is walking right by your side on a daily basis. That's what Jesus intended. So we've looked at that. But today I just want us to focus on the manifestation and the manifestations and the gifts of the Holy Spirit. So this is another one that I believe is really so simple, but again, we might have different opinions around maybe that it's complex or, you know, this thing is slightly more complicated than it should be. But really, the Bible makes the manifestations of the Holy Spirit and the gifts of the Holy Spirit really, really straightforward. And it's not just for the pastor or for the evangelist that we see on television. It's for every single person. So today, I'm just going to look at a number of areas. I'll look at what is the manifestation of the gifts of the Spirit and why. We'll look at, you know, the list of the gifts of the Spirit. And lastly, we'll look at flowing in the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Now, so someone might ask, what is the manifestation of the Holy Spirit? When you say the gifts of the Holy Spirit, what does that really mean? Now, I put down a little definition here, mine, back to scripture. And I've said the manifestation of the Holy Spirit is the Holy Spirit working through the believer to touch other people's lives. So it's God working through you to touch other people's lives. And if you look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 7. And what that says is this. It says, Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. So the manifestation of the Holy Spirit is given for the good of others. The Bible tells us that Jesus went around doing good, healing those who were oppressed of the devil. And the same way, God wants us to go around to do good. He wants to add the supernatural dimension to our lives so that we can help other people in the power of God. So the manifestation of the Holy Spirit is God showing himself through us to touch the lives of other people, as if Jesus were right here. Now, if you look at John chapter 14, verse 12, John chapter 14, verse 12, Jesus said there that, I tell you the truth, anyone who has faith in me will do what I have been doing. They will do even greater things than these, because I am going to the Father. So John chapter 14, verse 12 is telling us that Jesus, when he was around on earth in bodily form, he said, when I go to the Father, you guys, us, will do the things that I have been doing and even greater things. And if we look at the life of Jesus, we'll see that he was one with the Holy Spirit. Do you understand? Jesus was God, he's God, but he was one with the Holy Spirit. And he, you know, he did things in the power of the Spirit, Bible tells us. So Jesus wants us to be like him as well. Now, if you look at Mark chapter 16, verse 17 and 18, talking about what is the manifestation of the Holy Spirit and why. Why do we need to flow in the gifts of the Spirit? Why should we even bother? So Mark chapter 16, verse 17 and 18, it says, and this sign shall accompany those who believe. In my name they will drive out demons, they will speak in new tongues. Verse 18, it says, they will pick up snakes with their hands, and when they drink deadly poison, it will not hurt them at all. They will place their hands on the sick, on sick people, and they will recover. So when we place our hands on sick people, when we speak in new tongues, all these things are the works of the Holy Spirit, again, to touch the lives of people through us. Do you get what I mean? So that's the first thing. The next thing we want to look at is, what are the gifts of the Spirit? If we look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 4 to 11, it begins to outline about nine of them. It says, there are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit. But the same Spirit. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. Verse 6. It says, there are different kinds of workings, but the same God works all of them in all men. And now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one, there is given through the Spirit the message of wisdom. To another, the message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healings by that one Spirit. To another, miraculous powers. To another, prophecy. To another, distinguishing between spirits. To another, speaking in different kinds of tongues. So, and all these are the works of one and the same Spirit, and he gives them to each one as he determines. And I'll just stop there. So there are varying types of manifestations that Holy Spirit does through us. We've seen some. It says there's prophecy, there's word of knowledge, word of wisdom, there's miraculous signs and wonders, so on and so forth. So these are the things that the Holy Spirit can do through you and I. Now, the reason why I'm just, you know, saying all this is because I think oftentimes we think that, okay, you know what, it's that great, in quote, man of God or woman of God that can do this. I think I'll just, you know, be cool here. I'll just grab up my business. All this is reserved for somebody else. But God is saying that it is not reserved for any other person or somebody else. It's reserved for everyone that is born again. God can work through you in this manner. Do you understand? So those are some of the manifestations of the Holy Spirit. So I've looked at what is the manifestation of the gifts of the Spirit. We've looked at examples of some of them. Now we want to look at flowing in the gifts of the Spirit. Now what do you need to do in order to flow in the gifts of the Spirit? Do you need to fast? Do you need to, you know, what do you really need to do? Well, you don't have to do any of those things, and God has made it really simple. And the first thing is this. I'll mention just a number of things, then I'll just give some examples. The first thing is desiring to flow in the Spirit, in the gifts of the Spirit. If you look at 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 1. It says, follow the way of love and eagerly desire spiritual gifts, especially the gift of prophecy. So the Bible tells us that here, as a Christian, what you need to do is to desire to flow in the gifts of the Spirit. Do you understand? Desire, that means you say to yourself, wow, how I wish I could flow in the gift of prophecy, how I wish God could reveal things to me. Then you begin to desire, you know, that gift. For example, I know there are people, I mean, all of us here, there are things that we desire in our life. For some people, it might be the desire to succeed in their studies. Some people might be the desire to be with their wife. Some people, they desire to, all sorts of things. So God is saying that the same desire that we all have for different things, if we direct those desires towards wanting God to really manifest the gifts through us, we'll get it. It's really that simple. We'll get it. So it says that's the first thing. Now, the other thing that we need to consider when if one is flowing the gifts of the Spirit is in the book of Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. And this is what I'll say, trusting that God can actually work through you. And I think this is quite key. So, yes, we might desire it, the gifts of the Spirit to work through us. But again, we might say, you know what? I'm not quite sure God will work through me. But the second thing is this. You need to trust that what the Bible says about you and I is true. And that irrespective of who you are, even if you just got born again yesterday, God can work the gifts through you. And you trust that he can. Hebrews chapter 11 verse 6 says, it is without faith it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must first believe that he exists and he rewards those who earnestly seek him. So this is saying that, you know what, just, you know, how should I put it? You know, if I came to you, right, and I said, meet me here on Friday, meet me at 7 o'clock and, you know, I'll be here and we can talk. You know, you would automatically believe that I'll be here waiting at 7 o'clock. Do you understand? But if you met someone on the streets that you'd never met, and the person that said, okay, how are you doing? And they say, okay, can you meet me here at 7 o'clock? You might not automatically believe that they'll be there. Do you understand? Why? The reason is you trust me enough. Do you understand? And the reason that you don't really trust them. Do you understand? So God is saying that the same way that you trust people to deliver, trust him as well, that what he has said concerning the gifts of the Spirit is true. That all you need is desire. Do you understand? And to believe that as he has said that he can work this thing through you, that can happen. Now, how do we flow in the gifts of the Spirit? So this is the last one I'm going to look at, then I'll just give us some examples. So we said, what is the manifestation of the gifts of the Spirit? We said there are a number of gifts, about 9. Now we're looking at how do we flow in the gifts of the Spirit. We said desire, trusting God. Now the last one here is this. So I've said all these things. You can flow in the gifts of the Spirit. You believe that God can do that through you. What next? How do you start? Well, let's look at Hebrews chapter 5, verse 14. Two things here. Well, one thing here is you need to personally understand how God talks to you. Now, it says, but solid fruit, okay, this one is for the other part that I want to discuss. That's fine, you can leave it. You need to begin to, how should I put it, understand how God speaks to you as an individual. Now, I can say God spoke to me yesterday, and you'd be wondering, I mean, how did I know it was God that spoke to me? Do you understand? It's because for me, there is a certain way that I have now realized that God speaks to me, and I paid attention to it. The same way you as an individual need to begin to understand how God speaks to you, and I'll explain how that works sometimes concerning the gifts of the Spirit. Now, for some people, God might speak to you through the Bible. As you're studying the Bible, he speaks to you. For some people, God might speak to you in a thought. For some people, God might speak to you in pictures. In so many different ways. You know, you might be reading the Bible sometimes, maybe you're reading the Bible, reading the story of David or someone, or you're reading the story of Joseph in the Bible. And as you're reading that story, your thoughts go somewhere else. Sorry, not your thoughts. Certain things come to your mind. It might be, wow, this Joseph guy really suffered, you know? Do you understand? You're reading a story. Oh, this Joseph guy might have really suffered. I really wonder how he must have felt like. Do you know what you're doing? You're having the conversation with the Bible. Now, as you begin to have those kind of conversations in your mind, like, you know, God speaking to you through the word, God will now bring other things to your mind, and it becomes like a comparison. You know what I mean? So it's like you're reading something, and it's like, wow, this is similar to what this person is going through, or this is similar to what is happening to me in my life at the moment. So that's one way that God speaks to people. Now, the thing is this, for people, it's different. For some people, it might be like that. For some people, it might be that a lot of thoughts come to you about different things. It's now how you distinguish between which thoughts are yours, which thoughts are from God, and which thoughts are, you know, from the enemy. So what I'm not saying here is this. It's you saying, okay, I want to flow in the gifts of the Spirit, and you saying, I want to begin to pay attention to how I believe God might be speaking to me. Do you understand? Now, the last thing in terms of flowing with the gifts of the Spirit is this. Taking what I'll call baby steps or action. So it says, but solid food is for the mature who by constant use have trained themselves to distinguish good from evil. So with these things, you have to practice. You understand? You have to practice. So you can't just, so if I look at this training from just a physical perspective. So say for example, you want to develop muscles, and you said, okay, I want a six pack, or you know, I want to, and all that. You know, you can stay at home and think about it. Imagine that, wow, it would be good if I had like big muscles. Or you might even say, okay, I want to learn how to drive. How nice would that be? You know, I could drive around, I could do this. But if you stay at home and you don't take any driving lessons, or if you're the one that wants to build muscles and you don't go to the gym, you know what will happen? Nothing. So what will happen is that you just be dreaming about, you know, having muscles, dreaming about, but that's where it will end, in dreams. Now, if you now take the step further and you go to the gym, you say, okay, I've taken the first step now. I want my muscles to be, I don't know how they measure muscles now. Some people that are laughing, they know how they measure muscles. Maybe in the morning they go to the thing and they say, this is 10 cubicles. So you get to the gym, and the journey you start is, okay, I remember when I went to the gym once, a while ago. I mean, I've bought all my gear, like nice matching shorts. I went to the sports shop, trainers, socks. I said, that's the one I want, matching colors and all that. And I bounced into the gym, I think it was a January, and they gave me a personal trainer. I said, this is really good. He sat with me. He said, okay, this is the outline. You do some cardio. You do some weight. You know, this is the plan and all that. I said, yes, I'm ready to go. And I looked around and I said, oh, there are quite a few people here. And you know what, the guy, he kind of like gave me like a sniggering laugh. I'm like, why are you laughing? He said, oh, it's January. What does that mean? He said, the gym is a bit full now. I should just give it to March that, you know, you will have. But I didn't really understand what he meant. Apparently, what he meant was that beginning of the year, people have loads of New Year resolutions like me. That, yes, I'm going to go to the gym. And I was really excited. So he took me and I did the, I'm not quite sure what I did, the running one. And I did it for about a few minutes. I was panting. I said, that's enough. And all that. And I felt really, you know, top shape. I did that twice and that was the end of the day. That was the end of the game. They just took my gym membership payment for a year. And I stopped. Now, there's some other guys that will have been there, they'll have kept on going, like they're practicing and all that. And as they do that, they might make mistakes, they might, you know, hurt a bit and blah blah blah, so on and so forth. But they're making progress because they are doing it. The same thing with the gifts of the Spirit. What will happen is that as you begin to desire it, definitely God will begin to show you something. He'll begin to kind of like establish how he talks to you. But if you don't carry on, you know, practicing, and when I mean by practicing, I'll explain what I mean in a minute. what will happen is that you'll just stop. And you'll be like, you know what? God is not really doing anything for me. But the more you practice, the better at it that you will get. And you get to the point where your muscles are so built up in that area that you can lift, using the same analogy, you can lift heavy weight, but it takes time and practice. That's the same way with the gifts of the Spirit. Where it starts, it might be like a little prophecy here, a little vision here. And as you carry on, you will get to the place where you might be sitting down and, I mean, everything will just be flashing in front of you. Do you understand? Now, so that's the manifestations of the gifts of the Spirit. Now, I'll just give you some examples. So for me, this is how it works for me. Now, in terms of the gifts of the Spirit, I will leave out the other most of them, but not some of them. The one that I understand, because you know, God uses that through me sometimes, is word of knowledge and word of wisdom. So I'll explain how that works simply in my own life. And you know, maybe you guys will be able to relate to that. So, word of wisdom. I remember there was a time I went to, Apostle. And I sat down with him and I said, you know what? How does it work? Explain to me. And the reason I was asking him was because, you guys will meet Apostle later when it comes to Bristol. Apostle has, really worked this gift out to the point that, you could be sat in front of him and say, okay, this is what I've come to ask about. And he'll tell you what happened to you years ago. He'll tell you what happened to you yesterday. And he will tell you what will happen to you going forward. Do you understand what I mean? So how does this happen? Very simple. And he said, one, it's just what I'm explaining to you guys at the moment. Desire, and you begin to exercise it. Do you understand? So I remember there was this day, I think I've given this example quite a few times. My wife and I were in West London then, and we're just talking. And suddenly, we finished the conversation, and I had it's not like a vision per se, maybe like a mini vision in my mind about a friend of mine and his wife. And in that, I just saw, his wife, and she was looking really sad, and she was saying a number of things. I just dismissed it. This was on that, 1 or 2 seconds. But it now occurred to me that, hang on, is this word of knowledge? Hang on, what is happening here? Is this just a coincidence? You know what I did? I didn't just push it aside like the guy who went to the gym and didn't carry on. I said, I'm going to see if this is really word of knowledge or not. So I rang my friend up that same evening and I said, oh, how are you doing? He said, fine. So I just thought I should call you. Really awkward. So I'm sure at the end of the line, he was saying, say something. Why are you, stalling? And, what are you calling for? And I said, okay, by the way, I wasn't praying. This was a few minutes ago. I saw your wife, and she was saying this, 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 and this. Is that so? And the guy dropped. He said I should hang on. So he said I should just give him 2 minutes, and he put his wife on the phone. No, he said I should give him 2 minutes, and he came back, and he said that what had actually happened the night before was that his wife was really distressed. Something happened. And she was so distressed that she couldn't sleep from the night till the morning. And my friend was just saying, God, help me in this particular situation. What am I going to tell my wife to, calm her? Do you understand my name? And I called in the morning. So he now said, can I talk to his wife? So he gave the phone to his wife. And I told her that, look, this was what I saw. She was saying this. She was saying this. And as I was saying that, something now came to my mind about what that meant. And I told her that. Do you understand? As simple as that. Do you understand? And she was blessed. And it really revolutionized her circumstance at that point, because she understood that, you know what, God is actually looking after her. God actually is concerned about her. Do you understand? So as simple as that. Do you understand? I remember as well, there was a guy that when we, you know, came to Bristol and we're trying to start the church and all that. And this guy was, you know, he was helping us out, and he had some kids as well. And the same way, we did a couple of Saturday meetings. And before the Saturday meeting, I was just praying, and I saw his two sons, and just giving us examples, like this, again, just like in my mind. I saw his two sons, and I saw something about them. I saw that one of them had like a dark spot in the left side, and the other one had something on their knee. So I called him and I said, oh, I saw your sons. And this was what I saw. And again, the guy was really shocked and said that apparently his son had a heart problem and knee problem as well. Do you understand? So, but what I'm just saying is that I went and I asked. And the way I asked was, okay, I saw this, you know, about you. Again, practicing, because I wasn't quite sure. So I didn't go and say, you know what, God said this, because I didn't know. And I asked. Do you understand what I mean? Why am I saying all this? I'm saying all this because it is that simple. So for me, when God shows me things, he shows me things in a very visual way. Do you understand? In a very visual way. So there are three things, and I think I'll close in a minute. But this is personal to me. It might be different for you. So for me, the way it happens for me, for the word of knowledge, is the Bible says about... I'll leave that one. The Bible says, God says, when I speak to my prophets — I'm not a prophet, I'm a pastor — I will show them visions and dreams. I will speak to them, and I'm paraphrasing, in types. So, for example, there's another person that came to our house. I was with another pastor, and this couple came, and they were like, they wanted to make a decision about, you know, going to Bible school, so on and so forth. And they said, okay, let us pray, and we're just praying. And suddenly, what I saw was that I saw a tree. Again, just giving us examples. I saw a tree, like a big tree, and I saw the face of the wife of the couple, the wife of this guy, on that tree. And there was a wind that was blowing, and that wind was really violent, and it was blowing like that, but the tree stood. Do you understand? Now, that's a type. So it's, you see something, and there's a symbol, so you're not asking yourself, what does that really mean? And in this instance, what that meant for her was that she was going through like a really hard time, and that it seemed like everything was falling into pieces. But however, even though, you know, the wind was blowing so violently, and it seemed as if everything was falling into pieces, she was still rooted. And no matter what happened, God was still going to see her through. And she was really blessed. I remember there was another couple, and I'll stop here. There was another couple, some friends of ours. And again, when we were coming to the service, they just came once. And as I saw like a cracked desert land. You know when you watch these nature movies and you see like a desert? Not desert. What's it called? Like farmland, but like it's really dry, so it's not like a proper desert. And I saw the dry, cracked land, and it was really, really, really dry. Nothing was growing there. And from there was a little plant, a little rose that came up from within that crack. Do you understand? In that desert. And this couple came. And again, maybe they didn't really apply to them. And what that described to me was that for this couple, they had been married for a while, and they were, you know, trusting God for a child. And what I now mentioned was that, you know what, it seems as if like everything, you know, from a reproductive perspective is really dry. It seems like nothing is going to happen. But there's a rose that's going to come out. You know, God will, you know, give you a shoot. And that shoot that will come up is going to be like a rose. And it's not. It's going to emerge from even all the cracked, all the dry. Do you understand what I mean? That was what I meant to that. Now, why am I giving us these examples? I'm giving us these examples because as we desire the gifts of the Spirit, God will begin to honor that desire. But as you get that desire, you now have to practice. But as you practice, you have to practice with wisdom. So don't just go and tell someone, this is what, you know. You do it baby steps. Ask. Then the last thing, whatever it is that you tell people, has to be based on the word. So if anything comes to you that is not based on the word, then you need to kind of like put it aside. We're going to stop there this morning. I'm just going to ask that we rise and we'll just pray.